Ephesians, please, into the book of Ephesians. We want to look in some things in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 2 and verse number 1, it said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," notice it said by nature, "the children of wrath, even as others. But God," thank God for that, "who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come," glory to God, amen, and that's not written in there, I just put it in, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You can be seated. Father, give us wisdom and understanding as we look at this book. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we have to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage, to challenge, and Lord, to direct and show us what we need to do. Thank you for showing us what we were, what we are, what we can be, and what we will be. I pray, dear God, you'd take the Word of God this morning and apply it to our hearts somehow. Lord, I pray you'd drive it down to the deep crevices of our soul. And Lord, when we leave this building today, we'll have a determination to do more than we've ever done, do it better than we've ever done it. And God, I pray we'd accomplish the works of God for your glory and your honor, that your name might be magnified. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen. I want to look at this book of Ephesians. I want to say this morning, and I look at the book, it only got 6 chapters. Now you can read those 6 chapters in a short amount of time. I'll challenge you with this. You ought to pick you out of one of the New Testament books every week. Matter of fact, it don't matter where it's New Testament, but I would say do that till you get it mastered a little, or at least learned a little more of. Take books like Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians. Those are the shorter epistles. And read those 4 and 5 and 6 chapters. Timothy, 2 Timothy, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Read them several times in 1 week. Now, you have an advantage that I don't have. If I spend time reading the book of Ephesians 15 times in 1 week, that 15 times I'm reading that, I need to be reading some other places to try to help you. And I don't want to get bogged down in the same subject. But you've got the advantage that you could take one book and learn what you can from that one book. The more times you read it, the more you'll be acquainted with it, and the better it'll help you, and the more you'll learn of it. And I would challenge you to do that. Now that's over and above your regular Bible reading. Amen. Read it. It wouldn't hurt you to read it once a day for the next a week, one of those books. Yeah, you said, that's a lot of reading. That's right. Amen. you don't really learn till you read. Amen. Some of you got problems reading. You got a problem, sure enough. But I like to read my Bible. But the book of Ephesians, I want to look at this. I want to say there's six chapters. Don't take you long to read those six chapters. You can sit down and read it in one sitting if you just did it. And read that over and over and over and see all the different facets that God's got and all the little different things that God is bringing. And I like to break down each chapter. Each chapter you look at it and see what you can find from it. And that's what I'm going to do out of the book of Ephesians this morning and challenge you with some things. And I pray God help you. Number one, I want to see what these chapters are talking about. In chapter 1, as you begin to read it, all these little verses, 23 of them, it begins to talk about the boundless work and the boundless hand of God. So I call it the boundless chapter. There's no limit. Amen. To look at a boundless. I mean, you can't bind it. Look at verse number 4. The Bible said, according as he hath chosen us in him. Notice these little words, I've got them underlined. Before the foundation of the world. Amen. Would you say that is boundless? Time cannot bind the book of Ephesians. Matter of fact, it can't bind the book of any of God's word. Amen. Praise God for it. When we get to chapter number 2, we find that it's not only a boundless chapter 2, but it's also a limitless chapter. Look at verse number 7 of chapter number 2. We're going to pull out verses all through this book. In chapter 2, verse number 7, he said, that in the ages to come. Is that limitless? Amen. How far is that? Why, preacher, I don't know. Can you grab the end? Can anybody in here grab the end and tell us where the end is? No. You know why? There's no end. Praise God. Looking at verse number 7, he said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. We get to the other side, we're going to stand there. And as Revelation said to 24 elders, which is the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, they're going to bow before the throne of God. And there we will be, and we'll be put on display throughout the endless ages of time. Brother, there's no limit to God, and God's going to show the whole thing, brother, how great he is. And we're going to display his grace. We don't do too good a job of it now, but you wait. One of the days you will shine. Amen. Some of us don't shine bright. But one of these days we will glisten for the glory of God. Chapter number 3, I call it the measureless chapter. Because if you will, look at verse number 20. In chapter 3 and verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In other words, he can do above all that we ask or think. So if you look at that, that's measureless. You cannot measure the power or the grace of God, can you? Amen. Nobody can imagine it. Nobody can measure. Nobody can compress. Nobody can assess. Nobody can weigh the presence of God. Brother, I'll tell you what, we'll find that he's measureless. In chapter number 4 and verse number 10, we'll find something out of this verse. I'll tell you right now, he's the one who overflows. He's the overflowing one. It's the overflowing chapter. You won't be any good to the world till you overflow. You know why you hadn't helped too many people around you? You hadn't run over yet. Amen. When you get run over, you got more than you need. And most of you don't have enough yet. Amen. How full is your cup? Half full, half empty, three-fourths full. Amen. But you're not going to be any good to the world. You're not going to be any good to your family. You're not going to be any good to those you come in contact with until you overflow. Chapter 4, verse 10. He said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he, look at this, might fill all things, and that includes you. Amen. How long has it been since you got down to the throne of God and said, fill me up
and run me over. Fill me up. Fill me up and run me over. Most of us about like what that lady said. Down the fellows down the altar praying, Lord, fill me up, fill me up. And she is saying, Lord, stop the leak, stop the leak. He got a leak. He can't get full. I'm telling you right now, that's what's happened to, amen. Some of us need to get the leak stopped so we can be filled up and run over. You're no good till you run over. And I'm not talking about in the highway. All right. So we go to chapter 5. I call it the faultless chapter. Because in chapter 5 and verse 27, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on all these things. I'm going to give you a whole lot out of the book of Ephesians today. In chapter 5, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I've been pastoring a long time and have not pastored one of these yet. I've pastored some people that's in it. But God said one of these days he's going to present his church a glorious church, and that church would not have a spot, would not have a wrinkle, it would not have a blemish, it would be perfect. And I say, this is the faultless chapter, and the church one day will be without fault. Amen. Ain't you glad you're part of it? Amen. Then think about this. One of these days, God's going to straighten you out completely. Now, some of you think you're already there. Some of us think we've already got that part. But we're not faultless yet. We're not without blemish. One of these days, and now brother, it don't take you long to look. You don't even have to get yourself a magnifying glass to find fault in me. I don't have to get a magnifying glass to find fault in you. But one of these days, you can take all the magnifying glasses and the microscopes and everything else, and you won't be able to find one fault, one blemish, anything wrong with me, are you? Amen. Now, your wife might wish that that happened now, and your husband might wish it happened now, but it won't till you get to the other side. You're not without fault or blemish. In chapter number 6, I call it the victorious chapter because it's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And in verse number 13, it said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Listen, he tells us we can stand. So chapter 6 is the victorious chapter. All right, we study this. God's got the church and he's looking at it. But I want to show you something. In the book of Ephesians, there's four characters that you need to pay high attention to. Number one is God Almighty and the Son. We'll put them together. Can't separate the Godhead no how. We are talking about, we'll put another maybe in here too, but I'm looking at the Son. The scripture in Ephesians deals primarily for six chapters with the Son of God. You see that in there? And when you see the Son, and you'll find something else. You'll find the Spirit. Amen. We'll deal with that maybe if I get time before I get out of here. And number 3, it deals with the saints. It deals with the Savior. It deals with the saints. And it deals with the Spirit. And their fourth one in there, it's mentioned in the background, and it's Satan. And you find his destruction and what he does to the church. And with the saints, you can put one more, the servants. And they're the saints of God as well. But as we look at those things, we'll find how that this is doing. But in chapter number 1, you studied, you'll find that God is trying to compose a body. The church is classified as the body of Christ. In chapter number 2, he's constructing a building. He's building us up fitly framed together. In chapter number 3, he's trying his best to convey a blessing. Chapter 3 is the blessing chapter where God blesses us and runs us over. And then in chapter number 4, God is combining a brotherhood and bringing us together by the grace of God and bringing us up into a family relationship. And then we find in chapter number 5 that God is counseling a bride. The bride is the one that he speaks about in chapter number 5. And then in chapter number 6, he's commanding a battalion. Because he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now going back a little bit, let's look at the blessings and the things that God has done. In chapter number 1, we see blessings that cannot be depleted. God will never run out of blessings. Every once in a while I run out of some. Or at least I think I do. It's because I'm looking in a different direction. But God's blessings will never be depleted. You'll never be able to stop God from blessing. He may stop blessing you. He may stop blessing your neighbors. But God will still be blessing somebody somewhere. You can't deplete God's blessings. Number 2, in chapter number 2, God is building a building. It's called the church that can never be demolished. The devil can't destroy it. I love the church. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Then we find in chapter number 3 that he's going to give us blessings that cannot be disputed. Blessings that you have to know come from God. There's things God does for you and has done for you and will do for you that nobody can dispute. They have to say and you have to say and everybody around you have to say, it was God. Amen. So we find that they can't be disputed. In chapter number 4, we find a body that can't be decomposed. It won't die. Thank God I'm in a body. I'm a part of the body of Christ. This body that I'm living in is a tabernacle this morning is not me. My soul is on the inside. They will bury my body. And the skin worms will eat my flesh and it will decompose and rot and go back to dust. But thank God there's a part of me that cannot be decomposed. And that's the part this morning that I want to talk about. I'm glad I got a body that cannot be decomposed. Chapter 5, we find this morning that we are a bride that cannot be divorced. God will never give us a writing of divorcement. Man does that on this earth, but God will never divorce his bride. Why? Because he's going to make it a perfect bride. Amen. Nobody's ever married a perfect bride. Amen. First bride, Eve, wasn't perfect. Hadn't been one since. Right? But God has got himself a bride. The church that is going to be without spot and blemishes, I've already said. And that bride will never be divorced. God will never put her away. Thank God for that. And then in chapter 6, he's got a battalion that will never be defeated. I'm in the army of God. I've never served in the armed forces. Amen. It just happened that way. I wasn't running from it. I wasn't a draft dodger. I didn't run from it. It just didn't. But God put me in the army. And I've been in the army of God for a long time now. And I'll tell you right now, I've enjoyed it, but I'm in a battalion that will never be defeated. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. A few times I've been gasping for air. There've been a few times I've been in the foxhole. And the foxes are in there too. I've been a few times at the last point, and I thought I was got as the bullets of the devil was going by, and the flaming fiery darts of him was being slung by my head. I thought I was a goner, but thank God I'm still alive. I'm on the victorious side. I'm in the battalion this morning that'll never be defeated. In chapter 1, we find the perfect riches of Christ. Chapter 2, we find the perfect temple. In chapter number 3, we find the perfect mysteries, the church. And in chapter 4, we find the perfect body. Amen. In chapter 5, we find the perfect bride. And in chapter 6, we find the perfect armor. And if you'll do everything that those 6 chapters tell you, you'll be all right. Let's look at this. The book of Ephesians is a wonder book. It's wonderful in all of its contents. Let me give them to you. In chapter 1, we find the most wonderful story that has ever been told. Jesus Christ died, went to the grave, and arose on the third day. That's the most wonderful story that anybody could tell. It's the best story I've ever told, and I can't improve, amen, on that story. Chapter 2, we find the most wonderful body that has ever been formed, and it's called the church again. God organized the church. We'll talk about it a little more. Chapter 3, we find the wonderful building, the most wonderful building that's ever been built. In chapter number 4, we find the most wonderful walk that's ever been walked. In chapter number 5, we find the most wonderful bride that's ever been seen. Amen. Isn't it amazing when they have a wedding? Amen. Somebody tells me sometimes I'm going to get married, and I say, there ain't much difference between a wedding and a funeral. One's getting in, one's getting out. And they laugh. But when they go to a wedding, the groom comes out, they play the music, and all the people come in, and the families come in, and they escort them in and set them down. And then when the bride comes in, boom, 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 and then everybody stands and they look back. And isn't it amazing that the ugliest creature that could ever be gets in that veil, and all, it's amazing how beautiful that bride looks walking down the aisle. Amen. Ever groom ought to look back and take pictures of that, keep it in his mind, and hope she stays that way. And she walks down there and gets married. And I'm trying to say everybody's looking. But when you get to chapter number 5, the most beautiful bride that's ever been, that's the church. Brother, there's never been a bride more beautiful than the body of Christ. And then we find in chapter 6 that it's the most wonderful warfare that's ever been fought, and that's the battle of the Lord. Amen. Let's look at this church for just a minute. The church is a body for service. It's not only a body for service, but it is a temple for worship. The church is not only a body for service and a temple for worship, but it is a family for fellowship. Along with that, it's a school for the learning, a bride for affection, and an army for warfare. Now that's the body, that's the church. Amen. Somebody walks up to me and they're so tickled that they're part of the Lions Club. Oh, they tickled because they've been a part of the Bricklayers Association. What do they call them? Masons. Don't associate them two together either, by the way. But Masonic Lodge. They'll have them little tassels and them little red hats, and they're glad that they're part of the Yarab's. Yarab Temple. And they get a lot of attention. And another one says, I'm glad that I'm part of the board. Amen. Of a certain company. Want to say, I'm glad that I'm the CEO or the financial director. But I'm telling you, I'd rather be a part of God's church than anything I know. There's nothing on the earth any better, any greater, or any higher than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the three phases of our calling, if you will, this morning. The three phases. Now looking at it, if you will, first of all, we have a calling. He deals with that in the first few chapters of the book of Ephesians. If you'll look at it in a little further on into it, you'll find out that he not only deals with our calling, that we've been called. Amen, I've been called. I've been called. First, I was called unto repentance. He called me to be saved. Spoke to me with the Holy Spirit. Showed me I was lost, undone. Saved me. I walked down the aisle, got birthed into the family of God. First calling. Then he called me to preach. Secondly, he called me to serve. He's called you to serve. And then he called me to preach. And one of these days, I'm waiting for that last calling that's to come up hither. Looking for them callings. Got part of them. Well on my way. But we find our calling. Secondly, he deals with our conduct. Talks about how we are to walk. It's important how you walk. And then thirdly, he talks about our conflict that we're going to fight to battle. Amen. We look at this word of God this morning. What is the duty of the church? What's this duty? Threefold, if you will. Number one is to present truth. Where on the earth will you go to find the truth that you need to go? Internet? The sewer pipe? Twitter and Facebook? Amen. Where are you going to find truth? Courthouse? White House? Your house? Or God's house? If you don't find the truth at God's house, you won't find the truth. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Number one duty is to give the truth. Present truth. You present truth to the lost. You present truth to the saved. You present truth to the lost that they'll die without God and go to hell. Ephesians chapter 2 said it's by grace that we're saved through faith. And so you tell them how to be saved. Then you teach them how to live. So it's to present truth. Number two, the second duty is to promote righteousness. This church by itself cannot do it, but all of God's people together can. We as a body is to promote righteousness. When you go out that door out there, you're in a living example of what the grace of God has done, and you're to show people what righteousness is, that's right living, and you're to prove to the world that God's grace is sufficient to make you live right. That's why you don't cuss and swear and carry on. Amen. You get everything under control and you try to live right. You go down to the grocery store and you act like a devil. You go down to the drug store and you act like a saint. And you go down to Walmart and you act like you're in between both. People come scratching their head and said, I don't know what he is. But you go down to the grocery store praising God and talking about the Lord. You go down to the drug store talking about the Lord. And you go down to Walmart talking about the Lord. And everybody looks and said, hey, he lives right. You're promoting righteousness. That's what the church is to do. Is that right? Everybody expects a preacher to live right. But everybody else has got a pass. Amen. We didn't pass out no green cards from this church. Give you some kind of pass. Amen. Thirdly, it's not only to present truth and promote righteousness, but thirdly, it's to perpetuate and to keep on giving out and to perpetuate harmony and unity, to live together and live in harmony. All right. First three chapters of Ephesians deals with our doctrine. And the last three chapters deals with our duty. And you don't get your doctrines right, you won't get your duties right. Your doctrines is what you learn. Your duty is what you do. And if your doctrines ain't right, your duty will not be right either. Our ministry, the church has a ministry. Here at this church, we talk about the ministry. We're talking about many times sending out literature, but that's not what I'm dealing with right now. Every church has a ministry of some sort, and we put it number one It's to, and basically what I've already said, it's to expound the truth. Our ministry is to get the truth to the world. That's what we was talking about right a while ago, wasn't it? Number two, our ministry is not only to expound the truth, but it's to exalt the Lord. No reason us come here and not exalt the Lord. We want to exalt Him. By the way, the Bible teaches us, and we'll see it, that the Scriptures exalt the Lord. The Spirit exalts the Lord. And God wants the saints to exalt the Lord. Amen. Can you give me a verse of Scripture that does not exalt Jesus? Can you give me anything in the Word of God where the Spirit of God does not exalt Jesus? Can you? No. Can you show me where the saints do not exalt the Lord? Many times. Brother, we better get it right. The ministry of the church is to expound the truth, is to exalt the Lord. Number three, it's to exemplify a godly life. We're to go out living for Jesus, looking like Jesus, smelling like Jesus, living like Jesus, and being like Jesus. And not only that, but it is to encourage the saints of God. How many times you went to church and left discouraged because some Jezebel popped off? Amen. Or some Ahab done the same. You understand? I mean down to church house. You expect it somewhere else, but not at the church house. We see in the book of Ephesians our past walk. Chapter 2 and verse 2, we was going down the wrong path. Chapter 2 and verse 2, we had the wrong power. We was following the prince of the power of the air. We find in chapter 2 and verse number 3 that we had the wrong pursuits. We was following after the lust of the flesh. We find that we had a past walk, and then now we find also in the book of Ephesians we have a present walk. The present walk, we are under new control. We're under a new conduct. We're under a new course. We have a different father now. We got God as our father, the devil and his family we've moved out of. Left his house empty and moved into God's house. We find our calling's different now. We got a high calling. We've got a holy calling. And we've got a heavenly calling. You with me? You get all that out of the book of Ephesians. Now when you read it, every time you read it, look at some of this. See if you can't pick it out. Then the book of Ephesians is full of the Spirit of God. In closing, I'll tell you this. Jot these down. In chapter 1, we find the Spirit seals. He seals us to the day of redemption. In chapter number 2, He illuminates, opens our minds of understanding. Chapter 3, He strengthens us. I'm strengthened by the Spirit. Chapter 4, He unifies us and brings us together. Chapter 5, He loves us as a bride and wants us to love each other. In chapter number 6, He fights the battle because He's the sword of the Spirit. You with me? Just giving you, now that's enough to go home and choke you. That's enough to go along with your dinner. That's, amen, that's your appetizer. And your dessert. Now you go home and eat the cornbread, but I'm telling you, weigh this out. I'm glad that I'm part of the church of the living God. It's a joy to be part of it. What an institution. What an organization. Amen. The highest in the land. Glory to God. Heads bowed. Now, if you're not saved, you're not part of any of this. If you're not saved, this is all foreign to you. If you're not saved, you're not born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. It takes the blood of Christ. Have thine own way is what we want to sing.